Zorn, Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. He comes by every Monday, and we just talk about whatever's on his mind. And today, what seems to be on your mind, if I'm reading it correctly, you are watching out the window on Pioneer Court as a giant Abe Lincoln, much larger than the real Lincoln, is being dismantled and moved to Peoria.
We don't know exactly how large the real Lincoln was because
there's no record.
There's no record of that. But no, it's called Return Visit. It's this big piece of kit.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's been sitting out there in Pioneer Court for what, about a year now?
I think about a year.
And
yeah.
Baffling all of us by exactly what it's Lincoln, obviously,
and Perry Como,
and or Bruce Wolf is who some
or Bob from Sesame Street.
Oh,
he looks
yeah.
like all those guys.
Yeah, he's just like this sort of.
It's supposed to be your everyman.
Normal everyman. White
who has
guy
that sweater in 2017?
I know. And it's just strange. And what is the idea?
It's supposed to be Abe Lincoln giving him directions or something.
I
like
heard
how to get...
this morning, it's been here a year, I heard Steve Grzanich report that he's holding the Gettysburg Address. Did you know that? Because I just learned that today as it's coming down.
I did not know that.
I thought he was holding the Constitution.
Oh, is it?
No.
I thought that's what it was supposed
Battle
to be.
Battle of the Newscasters.
Now, did you like the Marilyn Monroe?
Yes.
I did, too. I thought that was very interesting.
You know what I liked about it?
Because you could
get it. It gave the opportunity of people from all walks of life and all different countries the chance to look up her dress. Because on a daily basis, you saw people doing exactly that.
It was remarkable. It was like people sort of understood what it was. And then before that, it was the American Gothic, right?
Grant Wood, yeah.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen that.
The pitchfork.
And that, and by the way, tell me who those two people are. What's their
Louis
relationship?
Louis C.K.
It's not Louis C.K. It looks like
it
looks like Louis C.K. What's the relationship of those two people?
They have to be husband and wife.
Mother
They're
and son.
Not. Yeah, it's mother and son.
Mother and son.
But to look at them, you would automatically go, well, that's a married couple, right? But no, it's older mother and her much older son. I don't know how that happened, but it did.
They had babies young back then.
I guess so.
So... But those were both kind of cool and interesting. People got them. I think people never really got this sculpture, and I'm just hoping that whatever they replace it with is something that's a little bit more
accessible. Who deserves the next statue in Pioneer Court? Who should it be?
That sounds like a question for the listening audience.
Mm.
I would hate to impose my views on something like
that. I go Schwarber.
Schwarbs.
A giant statue of Schwarber that turns out to be the actual size that Schwarber is. I think that would be perfect.
It could be sports. It's never been sports.
It's probably going to be a giant Apple because the Apple store is going to open right there. A giant laptop.
But sadly.
Oh, a mouse. A big mouse would be good.
Yeah.
That's funny. Like an actual mouse or a computer mouse?
A computer mouse.
Or how about an actual mouse? And people really mess with people's minds.
Oh, I like that too.
There you go. Sadly, we're not going to be here to see it probably because you guys are moving across the river and reportedly we're moving all further down the river. The editorial part of the Tribune is moving to the Prudential Building.
Oh, is that a definite?
I didn't know if that was a definite. No, it's not definite, but it's all the reporting is that that's where we're going to be moving. So out of the Tribune Tower, it's going
to
be quite a
You're going to have to leave 40 seconds earlier for work every day.
Yeah.
It's going to take an extra 40 seconds to get there.
Well, I was talking to to Todd Manley down in the locker room the other day, and he said, well, you know, it's just a short walk in the Pedway for you to get from
yeah.
the... So you can
it's
still,
easy.
So you can still see Bill and Wendy.
It's very easy.
I sure hope so.
We'll figure out a way for that to happen. Lisa Madigan announced late last week that this is the end. She's not going to run for office anymore. She doesn't want the job anymore. What happened there, do you
That's
think?
That's a surprise,
Nobody
too,
saw this
it?
It's a huge surprise. Lisa Madigan, of course, is the Attorney General, and she's been the Attorney General since 2000. I think she was elected in 2002, sworn in early 2003, I think. But anyway, for a long time.
Yeah.
And, of course, she's the daughter of Mike Madigan, who's the powerful veteran Speaker of the House in Illinois. And that was a bit of an issue when she was first running, and it's been a little bit of an issue every time she's run for re-election. You know, do you want that much power concentrated in one family? Nobody I know saw this coming at all. In fact, she had signaled to most of us that she was going to run for re-election. I think she'd even said she was going to run for re-election. It was.
Should we be nervous? Is there something going on that we're not
aware
of?
You know, immediately everybody started speculating what it was. And I was in the middle of writing my column for Sunday, and I thought, well, I should jump in and irresponsibly speculate because,
yeah.
you know, why
That's
not?
That's what people do.
That's what I do. But I had nothing... other than just wild guesses about what was really going on. And here's my thought, and I've yet to confirm this, and people think that it's kind of crazy, but I think that Lisa Madigan doesn't particularly want to be governor of Illinois, because really, who would, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what a nutty job. Mm-hmm. That she may not want to go to Washington to be a United States senator, which is the other thing people talk about for her, that she may not want to be the mayor of Chicago. I mean, just because she comes from a powerful political family and has shown some political ambition in the past doesn't mean that her ambition is all-consuming.
Right.
She is maybe more of a normal person than most politicians are, than the hunger for power does not burn within her. And she has stepped back. People have asked her. I have asked her to run for higher office in my column. I think she's been a very competent attorney general. She gets more votes than any other politician. Jesse White used to be the one who did that, but now it's Lisa Madigan. She's the most powerful politician in the state.
Ryan Burrow has a question for you, Eric. So.
Is it possible that she just wants to go and make some money? I mean, isn't that kind of how it works with a lot of these politicians? They do their service and they get offers, and an offer you can't refuse, maybe in the private sector?
What do you think? Is that a chance, Eric, that she just wants to find some job that pays a little better?
Sure. I think that's a real possibility. Another possibility that I heard floated, but I'm not sure I believe, which is that she is in line for a Supreme Court seat, Illinois Supreme Court seat, and that Justice Ann Burke, who is would step aside, and that they would somehow ease her into that role. I don't know that that's true. She's denied to us that she's interested in becoming a judge. She says they sit all day and she didn't want to sit all day.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I think it's quite possible that she wants to go into private business. She's an attorney. She could go and join a law firm. I think she makes about $150,000 a year this year. Plus tips, plus a pension.
Right.
But still, I mean, you can make a lot more than that as an attorney, as a named partner or a partner at a high-powered Chicago firm. She could do that.
I would have expected the other Madigan to step down before her, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah. I mean, the talk was several years ago. I think it was before the 2016 election, the one that where Bruce Rauner ran, that she was going to run. And she decided not to because her father did not want to step down from being the Speaker of the House. And she realized at that point that wasn't going to work, that voters were probably not going to want to have the governor and the Speaker of the House be from the same family.
Right.
Now, you know, I believe that, although I'm not sure that she wasn't a little relieved to that. And I think that if she had really wanted that, that her father probably would have stepped down for her. I mean, if you remember back in 2002 when she ran for attorney general, she was running against John Schmidt, who was a former U.S. attorney. He was a very powerful, very well-regarded legal person.
Yeah.
And she was a young state senator, not a lot of experience, no experience aside from that state senator in elected office or administrative office. And her father really just—he willed her to win, with all the political muscle that he has. And at the time, I was complaining about it. I said, "What is this? This isn't right. This is too much nepotism." But again, I think I over the years I felt that she's done a very creditable job as the attorney general. She hasn't been as aggressive about political corruption as maybe she could have been, but that office of Illinois attorney general has never been particularly active in investigating political corruption. So, you know, like I said, it might be that Lisa Madigan just, you know, she wants to
try something
she's
else.
She's tired of the, you know,
you can understand
the
that.
Crap fest that is Springfield and
right.
And just wants to do something else. She's in her early, I think 51, I think is her age.
Yeah.
And she's got a couple of young kids, and she's like a normal person. I see her around. She's a Northwest Sider like I am. I see her at the Old Town School sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, I just want to be more of a normal person. And that seems possible to me. And a lot of people say, like, how can that possibly be? She's a politician. They're all consumed with ambitions. But you remember when Blagojevich, Governor Blagojevich, was scheming about these.
Dark-haired Blagojevich or silver-haired Blagojevich?
Dark-haired
Blagojevich.
I prefer the silver-haired one, if you're asking which looks better.
People were saying that.
He looked great.
He looked very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why. And the really jet-black hair on a man of his age wasn't really working.
It works for Elvis. Sure.
Well, but Elvis was 43, right? Well, when he died, something like that. I mean, I don't know.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say that Blagojevich was purportedly dangling the U.S. Senate seat in front of the Madigan family. Say, look, I'll appoint Lisa Madigan, and then he was asking Mike Madigan to grease the way with just some legislation that he wanted. Hmm. And I think that if Lisa Madigan had really wanted that, and if that offer had ever been conveyed to her or had been conveyed to Mike Madigan, it's unclear, you know, exactly what had happened there. But it looked to a lot of people like that office was there for the taking, and she certainly could have run. I mean, when you know, Roland Burris was then appointed, then it was a great opportunity for her then to run, because Roland Burris, his appointment was so controversial and blah, blah, blah. So you could have Lisa Madigan, that was a great chance for her to run, and I think she would have had no trouble winning the Senate seat. She didn't want it.
Right.
Again, with governor, with mayor, all these things, people keep saying, Lisa Madigan. And she has not shown it. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying that maybe it's a good thing. And maybe she's like, hey, she's more like the rest of us. Like, who'd want that job?
Right, exactly.
So it seems possible. And, of course, now, if you want to, we can talk about what this has done. Of course, it's thrown things open to who's going to be.
Let's look at that next. We'll do that in just a little bit. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 is the best way. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. We're talking about a bunch of things. Oh, number one, before we forget, we were talking about how for a while there was a giant statue of American Gothic. That's the Grant Wood painting out in Pioneer Court to our left, south of us. And I thought, most people think that it's a husband and wife, a middle America husband and wife. But I said, no, it turns out it's a father and his daughter? Or
no,
mother and
we
son?
We both said mother and son. But
it's father and daughter?
Yes.
Is that right? All right. I stand corrected. Sorry, Grant Wood, if you're listening.
By the way, every man has been removed, but he still stands. If they place every man on top of Abraham Lincoln, it could look like every man destroyed Abraham Lincoln right now.
I hope that doesn't happen, Ryan.
Or is in love with him.
Yes.
I don't like that they're putting the giant crane rope around his neck. It just looks very bad to me. They should put it under his arms or something. It's just making
me
nervous.
The arms could snap, though, if they did that.
He's swaying now.
Yeah, just like every man.
This should be live. You guys should go commercial free until this thing comes down.
Hey, isn't that the Booth School, by the way, right next to it? I don't know if you want to put Lincoln next to Booth.
Oh yeah, that's
Chicago
awkward.
Booth.
That's bad. All right,
too soon. Well, too soon.
Thanks, Ryan. All right, last night's Emmys, Wendy and I mentioned this at the beginning. Had a surprise guest during the monologue that some people feel a little uneasy about.
Right. Well, Sean Spicer comes out.
Yeah,
right?
Sean Spicer.
At some point, Stephen Colbert is musing about, a lot of people are watching this, but we'll never know how many people are watching this. Does anybody know? And then he turns stage left and says, Sean, can you tell me? And Spicer wheels out on that mobile
the Saturday Night Live podium.
And he says, you know, this is the biggest crowd ever to watch an Emmys in the entire history of the world.
Both live and on television.
Period.
I thought it was a very funny moment.
Although the ratings did not depict that. The ratings were very down.
Oh, they were?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the ratings were down a little bit. So people are saying, let's not humanize Sean Spicer. Don't make him part of it.
Don't normalize him. Yeah. My social media feed went crazy. You know, I have a very liberal social media feed.
Who cares? I mean, why did they go crazy?
They were saying that you know, you have this guy. I mean, that it's not, in some ways, it's not funny.
Because you let the enemy in.
That you've got this guy who was up there just lying for the president, and he did it for months, and now we're all laughing about it, about what a liar he was. My point is that the fact that he is going out and making jokes about it acknowledges that he was lying, and it makes Trump the butt of the joke, not the public. I mean, that Spicer has become the joke, and that this is sort of a formal acknowledgement from him coming under.
What has happened to everybody? Lighten up, Francis.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought too. I thought that the joke was at the expense of Donald Trump and Sean Spicer. And, you know, this is what we've been doing for months.
Sean Spicer realized that when he got the call from whoever called him and asked him if he wanted to do it, he knew he was the punchline to a joke, and he went along with it. He said, yeah, if that's what it takes, I'll do it. Why not?
Sure, and he did Jimmy Kimmel last week, I think, and he's sort of making the rounds. I think he's going to write a book.
Yeah.
But clearly, for him to go on, I mean, he was mocking himself and mocking the president for the kinds of lies that he was telling from that podium. He was acknowledging the humor and the sort of the essential truth that underlay that Saturday Night Live sketch that Melissa McCarthy did where she was playing him.
Her face was priceless when he actually came out. She almost looked a little embarrassed, proud. It was like just weird faces coming from
and
her.
And then, of course, Colbert points to Sean Spicer and says, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, that was great.
There was a lot of Trump bashing on that show last night.
A little too much for my personal taste.
I liked it when Alec Baldwin accepted the award and he said, it was present. By the way, here's your Emmy.
Yeah. It was good.
Gonna get. So, yeah, it was fun.
That's Eric Zorn. He's in the Chicago Tribune. You should read him. You'll learn things.
You'll learn things.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thanks, Eric. We'll take a quick break and then find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.